But it's a short reading, so you might just want to listen. So, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and they went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. May God give us his word. Amen. So, paraclesis. Have you got your books? So we're coming towards the end now, and this week those in house groups will be finishing off the section 6, which will be is about connecting. And it's a time when we have, I know, have been looking at this, following through this at home. And it's a time that as we come towards an end on it, we think, well, that's it, isn't it? But we hope that this is just the springboard for us to go on and do things for God. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. What we'll do, bearing in mind we haven't got, I can't give you the clues or the words as we go along, I'll try and do so, but what we'll do is to send round, I think to the house group leaders, the answers, as it were, so that you can fill them in, so you'll manage to keep up with it. But where I can, where I remember, I'll draw those out for you. So today is the sixth and the last series, the week, some part of the series, and just do a quick recap where we've been with this. So we started, our first subject was caring, just thinking about caring. And we looked at the Good Samaritan, and we looked at what the meaning of paraclesis was. In fact, it was paracleo, which went to encourage. Now, I shall drop as much of the Greek as I can just give you the interpretation. The next thing we looked at was loving and the feeding of the 5,000. And there we were thinking about culture. Next week we were talking about journeying and the Emmaus Road disciples. And Diane led us through that. And it was there we were thinking about to counsel, to console, to come alongside. Then we looked at living, the man by the pool of Bethsaida. And that was to do with exhorting, to encourage and exhort. And then we looked at healing, the woman in the temple. And that was to do with comfort, and Richard led us through a study on that. So this is the paraclesis journey we've been on, embracing it as a church to become part of who we are as a church community. And that's been the prayer that we have for this, that this is just the start to encourage us going forward. The worst thing we can do is to finish this book and put it on the shelf and leave it there and thinking, well, that was a good course, we enjoyed that, it's done. But we pray that this just inspires us and moves us on to be the sort of community that God wants us to be. Because Jesus said it's going to be by the love you have for each other that is going to impact the world. And if we can start that and we can continue that and we can foster that, then that's great, because that is going to attract people to Jesus. So God calls us first to start this journey in the house of God, and then he calls us to reach out and take beyond the four walls into our community. So our final theme is connecting, and that's about putting it all together, because all the others are great things, but if we don't connect, then all is worthless. So we're going to look at connecting, taking what God is doing among us, rejoicing in it, embracing in its fullness, and living in the good of it, and taking to the hurting and broken and needy neighborhood around us. So the title of the message really is Have You Ever Felt the Need? There's a huge need around us, and the challenge is, will we connect our journey with those needs? Does paraklesis and what we've been doing stop here? Do we just let it fade away, or do we stir it up? Is it something that we believe in and we need to take forward? Today we're going to be looking at this story of the man at the beautiful gate. And it's important because in terms of an account, the others we've been looking in the Gospels, this is found in Acts. And this is when Jesus ascended to the Father, and he placed in the hands, in this case of Peter and John, his work to do. He wasn't physically there, but he inspired Peter and John to believe in him and to give what they had. And we're going to explore that. So, the word here, we've been doing a bit of a definition each week, haven't we? This word coming out of the passage is to entreat. And in this, perhaps is the best reminder, was in the parable of the prodigal son. And you remember that the older brother was really fed up with the younger brother coming back, and went off in a sulk when they were partying and celebrating his younger brother's return. And his father went out, and in Luke 15 it says, and he was angry and would not go in, this is the brother. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And again, it's a word coming from the Greek for paraklesis. Entreated him, he pleaded with him to come back in. And this is at the heart of what we're talking about when we're connecting. We're walking alongside, we're encouraging, we're having empathy, we are seeking to listen and to help and draw alongside. But equally, we're looking to entreat people to then come to Jesus. So the definition of entreat, where's the definition? To approach, reach out, connect, draw close, and engage with others at the felt point of need, persuading and pleading. Jesus wants us to entreat others outside the family of God as part of what we do. There are three clear directives Jesus gave to his disciples. One was the Great Commission. And that was obviously the outward focus mission of the church, to go into all the world to preach the gospel to all nations. The next was the Great Command, and this was to love as we've been loved. Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. This isn't an opt-out, this is a command to do this. Christ's command to be a community of love, not an option or suggestion, but a command. And the third one is the Great Connection. So we've had the Great Commission, the Great Command, the Great Connection. And this is where Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to his Father, he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. It wasn't a case of the Father sent me, I've come and told you about all this, and this is how you will find paradise, this is how you'll find the best way to live, and you're blessed, you 12. But it was not that. It was the final thing he said, I send you. That doesn't mean clustered together and live between four walls and be a community. It was sending out. And Jesus was very specific about that. For 3 years, he journeyed together with his disciples, connecting with people's lives. He spoke to them, touched them, healed them, changed them. And as the disciples have journeyed with him and been part of his story, he places the responsibility in their hands to carry on doing those things. Not only is Jesus sending them, but he promises that they will be empowered. Now, that's a very key word. It's not go off and do, put into practice what I've done. In the same way we're looking at this paraclesis course, it's not just go and do this, but be empowered. Not only does Jesus give us a steer on what we should be doing, but he gives us the power to do it. So this is being empowered. So how do we do that? Partly it's to do with caring by connecting, recognizing a felt need and deciding to intentionally engage with it, joining that person's journey, understanding their story, reaching out and doing something about it to change their life. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, Parakletos, who will stay with you forever. Some translations interpret that as comforter. That means one who comes alongside to help. And Jesus told his disciples to wait till they receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So what does it mean to be a witness? Jesus says that a witness is telling the truth, truthfully recounting the details of the story and the circumstances under which the event happened. The advocate, the lawyer, then takes the story and presents it for judgment. So a witness simply tells the truth by recounting the facts of their journey. And that's what God calls us to in paraclesis. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we tell our story, our gift of journey. And it doesn't matter, and hopefully over the time we've been doing this, you've explored what that journey might mean for you. What has it meant? And it might have been painful struggles. It might have been hard times. It may be times that we found difficult to talk about. And yet, God meets us in that need. Our story is not just about the good times. It's about when times were hard and we really felt the love of Jesus making a difference. And we felt the closeness of Jesus in those times of sorrow, in those times of difficulty, in those times of struggle. And that is your story. And there are so many in this world, there are so many people that God has already prepared to come across your path who need to know that story. Because that's the way we connect. There will be stories that we have that don't connect with others because they're completely different. But we all have a story to tell, and God will bring people into our path whom he wants to share that with. We all have a story to tell. So Jesus tells the disciples that he will send a divine advocate who will come to enable and empower them to tell their story and share their journey. And when we come alongside others on their journey, sharing our story, the Holy Spirit comes with his gifts and his graces. So what does that story and sharing really mean? Firstly, Jesus engaged with people's felt needs. Remember the story of the well with the woman? She was there in the heat of the day when all the other women wouldn't be there because of her lifestyle. She was an outcast, but Jesus came and sat at the well and entreated her. She came to the well for water, her felt need. What did Jesus talk about? He talked about water. He connected at the point of her need. The felt need is the conscious need. Anyone trying to follow your books, then conscious is one of those words. All right. The felt need is the here and now, the present moment. We can't go preaching and talking to people in a place they're not. We have to meet people at their point of felt need. We need to people just where they are on their journey, like the Good Samaritan did, like Jesus did with this woman. And the question is have you ever felt the need of other people enough to connect and care? And then the next thing is Jesus addressed that felt need. Jesus connects with felt needs of the moment. With the feeding of the 5,000, it was their hunger. It was great they'd come to hear him, and they wanted so much to hear more, but he stopped there because he knew that underlying it, I don't want when you're hungry, but it sort of takes over, doesn't it? It becomes a distraction. So Jesus knew their point of need. He knew that they were hungry, and he used it to teach, obviously, through that as well. The Emmaus Road disciples had broken hearts. During a family crisis at a wedding in Cana, Jesus didn't take this as a good point to preach a sermon while waiting for more wine to come. He engaged at the point of need, turning that water into wine. We come across these kinds of needs every day in our lives, whether it's a neighbour who needs the grass mowed or an acquaintance needing help with their groceries. Witnessing isn't inviting them to a special event or church meeting, it's just connecting with the ordinary things of life. Has anybody had a go at these kindness cards? Yeah? A few of you have? Those certainly in house groups will be challenged to do something with them. Have you? Is that taking you to some interesting places? Yeah, I expect so. There's a few. I've heard some stories, and it would be good to chat through some of those stories, perhaps over coffee as well. We won't have time now. But maybe those kindness cards have challenged us to think about things slightly differently, but in very practical ways. Sending some flowers to somebody, writing a letter, giving a gift, doing something out of the ordinary, perhaps, that we wouldn't normally do. So they have been a little bit of a spur to give us an exercise in doing something, being kind to somebody, and doing something that wasn't expected. And then Jesus not only addresses felt needs, but felt needs lead to real needs. So it wasn't long before Jesus was talking to the woman about her real thirst and the deep needs of her soul. Connecting at the point of felt need leads to an opportunity to get to know someone else's journey and understanding the real needs. If we only relate to felt needs, we are no different to our secular counterparts or social agencies. We don't stop there. And the challenge for us as disciples of Jesus is to go the whole way. That doesn't mean to say that on every engagement and coming alongside people, we can go the whole way and explore the real needs, but that's where we should be looking. So if we're just satisfying people with needs that are physical, that are needed at that point in time, that's a good thing, but it's even better to walk further with them and help them explore the real needs and bring them and introduce them to Jesus. So connecting to the real needs. To look further at felt needs and real needs, let's pick up our key story for today. It begins, "Now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." They were basically on their way to a 3 p.m. church prayer meeting when they came across this paralyzed beggar at the entrance into the temple. The man had a chronic condition, a certain man lame from his mother's womb. For over 40 years, he had suffered severe disability from a congenital disease. From birth, he'd been unable to stand or walk. His disability was bad enough, but something worse was going on too. The beggar was, firstly, marginalized by religion. So there's another word for your books, marginalized by religion. Because he was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms for those who entered the temple. The law said that, and tradition required, that disabled or paralyzed persons could not enter the temple of God's house. Religion and his deformity meant the man remained outside the temple gate, which separated the outer and the inner court. The closest he got was the gate. No one could get him beyond it. Even the religious people couldn't get him in. marginalized by those who should have cared, he lay on the wrong side of the gate into God's house. Maybe that's a message as well today for religion and particularly for Christianity. However, he knew that by laying there, people going into the temple would see his condition. He knew temple people wanted to please God before going into his presence with an act of kindness or righteousness. Perhaps they had kindness cards. Giving alms. Almsgiving was recognized as an outward display, an act of righteousness. He simply manipulated and exploited their religion, and they just fed his poverty. They gave him money because it served their purposes. It made them feel good. Sometimes we can do that in church. Lord, I won't go, but here's the money to send someone else. But God says, how about putting your hand to the plow and getting your hands dirty? Your involvement is part of the solution. I was looking at the board at the back called Serve at SBC. And there are things on there for Coffee Rota, for helping with youth. And I see on there cards that are blank and that's been up there over a week or more. No names, nothing on that board. If we can, to be honest, if we can hold a dishcloth, maybe there's a question mark over what we're doing with that dishcloth. It's a challenge. We ought to be coming alongside. We ought to be working together as a fellowship and undertaking those tasks that we can do together. So I would really encourage all of us to review those cards. Look at the opportunities. Look at them in terms of an act of kindness, because in that way we demonstrate that love toward each other. So please be challenged by that. So the beggar represented one of the lowest have-nots in society, with no dignity, self-respect or self-worth. He was despised and pitied. He begged because he had little choice. He had no education, nothing he could put his hand to, and there were no social service or disability allowance. He was completely dependent on others. So his felt need there, of course, was money, because he had to survive. He had to have food. And that's when Peter and John arrived. These men were new in the kingdom, a new era. They'd journeyed with Jesus and seen him connect at the point of his need, of felt need, then real need. And they saw this man's felt need. For them, it was a day of opportunity. It was an opportunity to connect with a needy man who had been, for all too long, kept outside the gates of church. They weren't your average temple goers. Peter and John had journeyed with Jesus for 3 years, and Peter and John were connected. 2, a caring community. Again, another word for you. And it was a community where they believed, they shared together, and they put all their common resources together. Everything given over for the common good of others. Peter and John now had nothing except Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything else they had was shared in their community. And they came to this man whose felt need was money. Knowing that they haven't got what it takes to meet this man's felt need, other temple goers threw a shekel in or two at the problem. But Peter and John belonged to a grace and truth community that recognized people don't have problems but needs. So with the paralyzed man, the other word in there for you. This is an interesting, it comes back to connection again. It says in Acts 3 verse 4, and fixing their eyes on him, they said, look at us. And they looked at him straight in the eye. That goes back to this connection we were just thinking about, being face to face. It's all very well writing a letter. It's good to write letters. It's good to write emails. But the face-to-face contact is so, so very important. And we're in danger, dare I say, that with all our technology, that can get in the way, that can be invasive and destroy and make relationships fragile. And we may not get the depth we can do when we're sitting with people and talking to people and listening to people face to face. So he gave them their attention, expecting to receive something from them. And this is where they felt his this was connecting with his felt need. And Peter and John looked him straight in the eye. Now you might think that when someone isn't offering money, the beggar might look at them beyond to the next person and the next client and the next target so they can get some more money, because obviously Peter and John weren't going to give them anything. But we see that he didn't look beyond them. Something about them arrested his attention and engaged him. And he looks at them with full attention. They convey hope, but his expectation is only to receive something. Can you imagine what it was like for Peter and John? Because they saw him there and they thought, well, you know, we ought to do something about his need. You know, is there some, what can we do? Have got any money? Bit stuffed. So, but they saw beyond that to effectively what his real need was. And that was not just about hunger. It was more than that. It was about him. Those famous words Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Thank God for social involvement. And let's be clear, the gospel is not a social gospel. Social is the point of connect, the felt need. The deep hunger and longing for the human soul for spiritual reality is the real need. We have a journey that says spiritual reality for us has been found in Jesus. Because fundamentally, we have been made by God, and God calls us back to be with him and connect with him. The spiritual reality has been that the anchor of your soul is to be found in Jesus. The anchor for everyone's souls is to be found in Jesus. Peter and John knew the thing that the beggar longed for most, which he had been denied for so long, was the ability to walk on healthy feet, to go through the gate into God's presence. So Peter and John were willing to make available to God what they did have. Of course, they didn't have very much. In King James Version, Peter says, such as I have, I give thee. Obviously, they didn't have any money. It all been given to church. But they freely gave their such as I have. What Peter and John did have was their journey with Jesus and all that Jesus had poured into them. Their presence, their compassion, their hope. Remember, this is the Peter was the denier, the one that let Jesus down time and again, who denied knowing this man from Galilee, but something had happened on his journey transforming him. He could now say with John, such as I have, I give you. He gave him the experience of his journey with Jesus. Well, what a word. So as we come to close this series, I want to ask, what is your such? It is your gift of journey, your life experience, what God has been to you, what he's been for you. Bring it to God and say, this is my such. It may not seem much, like the boy with the loaves and fishes, or the widow with the mite, or Mary with the alabaster box. Maybe it is not a lot, but it is your such. Let him take and connect it with someone else's felt need and use you as an instrument of grace and truth. Don't look at what you don't have. Peter and John didn't let what they didn't have, in this case money, stop them from reaching out with what they did have. Don't let the fear of what you don't have stop you from connecting to others. They didn't have cash, but they had such. Their lives were not dictated by their limitations. Stop looking at our limitations. Stop looking at our failures. Stop looking, but embrace the resource that God has given you. Realize what you do have. Recognize your such, your gift of journey, your experience, and the grace and truth that has become part of your life. When you close in on that, your own lack of ability, confidence, experience, money, education, and so on, disappears. It doesn't count. Your lack doesn't stop you passing on your gift to others. Embrace it as well with its certainty. God has given you this gift to give away to someone else. Peter and John had certainty about what they did have,
when they have certainty about what we do have, we are not limited by what we don't have. And when we make it available to God, he multiplies it. And let's remember, we all have a story to tell. Your greatest liability becomes your greatest asset in God's hands as you journey with others. Your mess becomes your message, and your test becomes your testimony. Your journey becomes your priceless gift to others. And let's remember, we're empowered in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, we read. It is that name that is above every name, the name that to which one day every knee will bow. So our prayer is that we come to the realization that we are part of God's plan in this day and age. As with Peter and John, where that gate may be, where that beggar may be, will be somewhere our path will lead. And what we do have to share, God will empower us to share that. So let's conclude with Peter and John's final actions in this healing. So they gave him a hand out, gave him a hand up, not a handout. They took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God. They reached out, took hold of his hand, gave what they had, made the connection, and lifted him to his feet. And at that moment, something flowed from them to him. Supernatural strength, power, healing, deliverance. Instantly felt in his feet, ankles, and legs. Never again would he be carried into the temple gate. Far better than a few shekels in his hand, the name of Jesus always lifts people and sets them on their journey again. Be expectant. As you share your journey with someone, the power that that has. Jesus will do miracles. Jesus told his disciples, go and do, you'll do more than I've done. If we have recognized the power that he gives us. It's just amazing what happens. Time and again, we hear of people coming to know the Lord through something that sounds so simple. And it's a sharing of someone's struggle that simply does a miracle in their lives. Let's not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in doing miracles. We want to see more miracles nowadays. And as we have confidence and we have love and we engage with people, Jesus will be right there. Don't be surprised what will happen. So they grasp the connecting opportunity. Every day we have opportunities like Peter and John. We can wake up with excitement and joy because today we can reach out and help someone to stand up and get going on their journey again. And our prayer is that this book doesn't go back on the shelf, but it's in here. And when we go out each day, we're ready for just the opportunity to share. They grasped their connecting opportunity with both hands. This was the new order in the new kingdom, empowered to journey together with others. And they engaged in journey evangelism. Don't like some of these terms. They sound a little bit clinical and a little bit, But you know what I mean. This is what evangelism is about. Sometimes our view of evangelism is you've got to stand on the pulpit, you're going to preach, you're going to be on the street corner, that sort of image. But this is journey evangelism. This is coming alongside. We keep talking about coming alongside others. I wish we'd drop paraclesis as a name. Coming alongside others, caring, sharing, and walking with people. That's journey evangelism. So Peter and John took the opportunity that day when everyone else walked by and threw their shekels. But they said, today we are going to paraclesis to entreat this man. And he was drawn to them. This is how the book of Acts began. And we are the continuation of that journey. To the questions, who cares? Do you care? They responded, we care. Now it's over to you. So, did you come in with a ribbon? Were you given a ribbon? Has anybody not got a ribbon? I'd like you to have your own if you can, if we can, we should have enough. So this ribbon, if you can just hold it up or just before you, this represents your life. Lots of different colours, but a lifespan. What I'd like you to do is try and tie a knot, doesn't have to be a special knot, just a simple knot, in that ribbon that represents perhaps where you are in your life. Now, we don't know how long we've got to live. Dare I say, we may only have another day. We may have a week, a month. And maybe our focus should be on that. But I'd like you to try and draw, put a knot in where you think your life is about in terms of its duration. I'm looking optimistically. I'll put my knot in the middle there, but maybe, maybe that's not so. I'll just give you a minute in case those of you struggle with knots. Someone's run out of ribbon. Yeah. So what you've got, I'd like you just to hold that before you. And part of that ribbon before the knot represents your life up to now. And that's gone. And that's gone. Pass the knot the other way is those days, is that time, who God knows, you have left. And as we come to close this series, I want you to look at that part of the ribbon you've got left. And I'll ask you, we're going to sing a hymn in a minute, but as an act of commitment, that you will make that bit of ribbon, you commit that to God. And you'll say, I'm going to be here. I want to devote my remaining time here on this earth to live out my discipleship. I want to connect. I want to go forward. I want this church to be a light on the hill in Sikkup. I want us to be a light of love. I want to see that in my family. I want to see that here. I want to see that impacting community while I'm here. So we're going to sing together in a minute. I don't apologize for the choice remaining songs. We've sung many times over the last few weeks. I could think of no other better. And as we sing that song, I would like you to perhaps to come up where you can, or if you can't get up, then someone just bring it forward, and we're going to put those on the cross as part of our commitment. If you can't do that, then don't worry, just hold on to your ribbon. But if you'd like to, pass it to someone, bring it up, and I shall put it on the cross there. And we're going to sing together, just to close this part of the service. Brother, sister, let me serve you. And may that be our theme.